This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Shocking. Closed Circuit TV reveals the beauty queen Kata suspect stalking his first victim. That is his first victim that we know of. As you know, the Penn State grad / beauty queen has gone missing from her workplace where she worked at a ritzy living assisted home. You're going to hear a lot tonight. The car has been found. In the last hours, that gold Toyota Camry driven by suspect Keon King has been found. And the search leads us to an abandoned middle school, the Ada Lewis Middle School. Joining us live tonight, an investigative reporter on the story from the beginning, CBS's Joe Holden. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories, and I want to thank you for being with us. Where is Kata? You know, she had the overnight shift. She just clocked in and then suddenly leaves. She had never done anything like that before. Where is Kata? Guys, so much happening in the search for Kata Scott, the Miss USA hopeful who represented her area. Not only is she beauty, she's brains. Could she think her way out of this kidnapping? According to LE Law Enforcement, they say they believe she could still be alive, and that is why tonight's broadcast is so important. Let me give you the tip line right now. It's 215-686-TIPS, T-I-P-S, 215-686-8477. Look at her. Look at her. Is she still alive? Can we bring her home to her parents? Her dad now putting up a $10,000 reward in connection to evidence leading to her whereabouts. First of all, I hardly know where to start. Creepy surveillance video emerges of him stalking, we think, his first victim. Could have been his fifth victim, for all I know. But first, I want to tell you about the car. This has been the focus of the search of LE Law Enforcement since she went missing. Let's take a look at the recovery of the car. As you know, guys, this is from our friends at 6ABC Philly. In this, it looks a little silver. It's not. It's actually gold with heavily tinted windows. An anonymous tip leads police to this. It's a treasure trove of evidence. If law enforcement believing that Kata was in this car, God forbid we find blood. I do not want to find blood. I'm happy to find fingerprints. I'm happy to find any other belongings of hers. I don't want to find her torn clothes or blood in that car. I want to quickly go to what we are learning about not only the car, but physical evidence. Guys, in addition to physical evidence that is mounting, we have obtained CCTV, closed circuit TV. It looks like a ring camera of the defendant. We told you about a prior attack where he strangled another woman who we've been told looks very similar to Kata. That's what we call in the law a similar transaction. And it can be admitted before a jury after a motion in limine, a hearing outside the jury presence, if the judge rules your way. Because while he wouldn't be being tried for that, it can show motive, course of conduct, frame of mind. Now, how would you like to see this at your back door window? Take a look.
Go away, don't come over here. Mm-hmm. Karen, call the cops. Mm-hmm. Call the... Is all these kids in here? Call the cops. He's coming around the window. Go that way, Cameron. Yeah, go away, bye. Go away, bye. Yep, bye. Bye. Keon out here.
That is from @S4LCC on TikTok. Just so you know, he did not go away. Keon King, that's him, goes to every door and every window of that female victim's home. I want to look at it on mute. Okay, here he is. He jumped over the fence to get to her. He ain't coming to the front door with candy and roses. He's jumping the fence. And look, I don't want to see that out my window first thing in the morning. He's going door to door. And what breaks my heart is you hear the look at that. There's children. There's toys. She has children in there. And she's saying, call the cops, call the cops, call the cops. She knows to be afraid. When my husband has been locked out and I go to let him in, I don't run from the door. I don't scream, call the cops, because I'm not afraid. This woman is afraid. Don't come over here. Cameron, call the cops. She is telling, I think, the children to call 911 because she knows what this guy will do. And that tells me, and I'm sure veteran defense attorney Derek Smith joining us is going to disagree, but that tells me this is not the first time. Why is she so afraid? Why is she afraid? Derek Smith, I'm going to circle back to you. Guys, that is from @S4LCC on TikTok. And I'm going to give you a few moments to gather your thoughts. Because first, I'm going to go to Joe Holden. Joe Holden, chief investigative reporter and anchor CBS News Philly. Thank you for waiting, Joe, because I know you're dying to get back out into the field right now. Did you see the video?
There's something so off about that video. In fact, we tracked down that house just yesterday on the streets in North Philadelphia. What is that stance? What is that body language? What is happening? His eyes come up to that window, and my colleagues in our newsroom are actually is quite terrifying. We know a lot about his alleged prior bad acts at this point. He assaulted the same victim. In this incident here, and we believe this to be January, he assaulted the same woman in November. We were able to uncover traces of charges. Now, those charges are hidden from view on our docket system, something about clean slate business. But this happens in November.
What?
And then,
Whoa. Joe Holden, what did you just say about a clean slate?
So we can't get at the charges that were leveled against this guy, Keon King, back in December of 2024, as well as an incident that happened in January of 2025. The case brought in April of 2025 gets withdrawn, dismissed, however you want to phrase it, in May of 2025. Guess why we can see these records now, Nancy? Because the district attorney's office has refiled the charges in light of their ongoing kidnapping prosecution now and search for Kata Scott. So it's like the toothpaste is getting squeezed back into the tube at this point, if that's even the right way to describe their actions. And the clean slate law has prohibited our ability to see some of the charges, but because
okay, that is so wrong. That is so wrong. Why should a guy who has been stalking these young women hiding behind the clean slate policy? Guys, that video from @S4LCC on TikTok. And another thing, the woman, one of the women that he assaulted in the past, has issued a comment on social media saying, I hope they put you basically under the jail after all you've done, after all the pain, the hurt you've caused. I'm going to pull it up for you in just a moment. But that tells me, while don't show me Derek Smith yet, while Derek Smith is not going to like it, that there are a lot of similar transactions. That's certainly putting perfume on the pig back there. There are other women out there that are rejoicing he is behind bars for kidnapping Kata. Why? Because he has got a history of violating, tormenting, stalking, torturing, scaring women. I want to look at that video. Oh, yeah. Okay, not him. I want to look at that video because I want to know, what can it prove? What is the probative value? One, a 6-foot fence is not going to stop him. He jumped right over like Spider-Man, and here he comes looking You know, that's a good way to get shot right there. But he's not afraid. He knows who's inside, a woman and little children. So, hey, go ahead and terrorize her. He's not worried. And you see the camera all jumpety because she's running to window saying, go away, go away. And he's not leaving. I mean, if somebody told me when I went to their front door, go away, I would be gone. They'd see nothing but tail hole and elbows. I'm out. But nothing is stopping him. Not a fence, not a locked door, not a closed window. If Kata Scott was in that car, what would he do to her? This from at S4LCC on TikTok. Guys, I'm going to circle back to what this video means, but I want to quickly go, you know what? Let's keep running it to see what else we can learn. Did she actually go to that window and lock it? Joining me right now is a longtime colleague and, dare I say, friend, Cheryl McCollum. She is a forensic expert. She is the director of the Cold Case Investigative Research Foundation. And she is the star of a hit podcast series, which I have often put on loop and listened to her, Zone 7. Cheryl McCollum, I will very quickly remind you of the first time I say that we met. It was when we were so happy that we could give domestic violence victims their own cell phone. I didn't even have a cell phone. And they were about that big. They were huge. They were like a shoebox. And we were giving them out. The mayor at that time made a cameo appearance. And we were giving them out in municipal court to domestic violence victims. That's when nobody even knew what domestic violence even was. That said, did you see this video? The reason I brought that story up is you and I have been fighting domestic violence for so long. This woman is locked in her home with her children. And she's screaming to the children, call the police, because she knows a window and a door are not going to stop him. A fence sure didn't. What about him, McCollum?
You already said it beautifully. This is a pattern. He is not deterred when he is spotted. He's not deterred when he sees children. He's not deterred when he knows the police are on the way. This is so frightening. There is zero chance that there's not more victims in his 21 years. You're going to see a clear and distinct pattern of him stalking and watching.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Derek Smith, you know, Derek, when our same group joining us tonight were together last 48 hours ago, we knew, guys, that's from at S4LCC on TikTok. We were talking about one prior where he attacked a woman outside her home, forced her into the car, assaulted her. They haven't said whether it was a beating or a sex assault. We know there were children in the car, then threw her out of the car. The reason I brought that up last time, Derek Smith, is because it was eerily, chillingly similar to what we think happened to Kata, our brilliant beauty queen. People have been writing, why are you talking about beauty queen? Well, because she's beautiful on the outside and the inside, and a scholar, had graduated with very high grades from Penn State. Her world in front of her. So, Derek Smith, now we're learning about not one, but two priors. And you heard Joe Holden say, we can't even get the whole record because of some clean slate policy. So who knows what is lurking in his record? What about it, Smith?
Well, Nancy, you mentioned these alleged acts that this man perpetrated. Was he convicted of these crimes at all? Because if not, they're just merely allegations. And then watching this video of him jumping the fence, okay, he walks up to the window. He didn't have a weapon on him. He didn't seem to be frightened or concerned. Why was he there? Would it change your perception of the video if you received a text message from the homeowner saying, hey, somebody's in here, come help me out, and then he showed up to help? He didn't seem like he was trying to...
Well, then why did they keep him locked out and call the police when he showed up? What are you saying? So you're not even making any sense.
Well, let's get to another aspect of this. I mean, you prosecuted domestic violence and stalking type cases before.
Put him up. Hey, Smith, I'm not a speed bump. You just don't roll over me and keep going. I asked you, why did you even spin out that total technical legal term, BS, that maybe there was a text from the woman, the victim, asking him to come help her with an intruder? No. She says, go away. Do I need to spell that out for you? She did not call him over. She's locking the doors and the windows. What? What? What are you saying?
Did that look like she was very afraid? She walked over. She was right by the window. If she was afraid he was coming in there, why wouldn't she be cowering in fear calling the police?
She's following him from window to window, making sure. Look, everybody's running. They're all running. Okay, now can I go back to Derek's desk to see what he's going to say this time?
She's looking at him, and then he pulls out his phone maybe to ask her, hey, why aren't you answering the door? You called me over here, you need my help, and now you're not answering. We don't know any of that. Have we got the phone records? Have we seen any conversations between these two? We're jumping to conclusions here now, aren't we?
She filed a criminal complaint against him.
And was he convicted? I can file a criminal complaint against
anybody.
She
became afraid and withdrew. You know what? You can go ahead and cut his mic to his face right now. I'm going to put him in the corner and give him time to think about what he just said. Dr. Jerry Lynn Utter joining us. Dr. Utter, clinical psychologist specializing in evaluation and risk assessments in the criminal justice system. Okay. I actually, as much H-E-double-L as I give him, respect Derek Smith. He's won a lot of cases, which is not easy to do. Because he can spin out these scenarios and get one juror on the hook, and they believe it. What is concerning me, let's fast forward from that last similar transaction we were showing, one of, I believe, many, to Kata. How is it that these people, these perps, reel in young women? How do they fall for them? Did he force her in the car? Because that's what he did to the other victims. Did he lure her in? Did he offer her? I don't know why she was in the car. All I know is she's gone now after she was in that car.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns as far as, you know, Kata going willingly with him. In my opinion, based upon what we know and what we've seen about Kata and what we know about Keon, I don't see her as being the type of young lady that would willingly go anywhere with somebody like this. When you look at the video and you watch him and his stance, it's almost as like he's taunting the poor women in that video. And they're very familiar with the behavior because she very clearly says it's Keon. So she knows, you know, who he is. She's familiar with the behavior and she's afraid. I don't care what Derek says. You can clearly see that this person is afraid because she wants the cops called. So in my opinion, as far as him luring her in a charming way or trying to coerce her in a charming way to go into the vehicle or to leave with him, I just don't see that based upon some of the behaviors that I'm looking at in this video, and also through learning about Kata and her personality, and then also some of the events, you know, that she was scared, that she was being harassed potentially by him. We don't know for
sure. Dr. Utter, I need you to comment on something. Look at the video. He jumps over and he stops like a superhero and then like points. Okay, I want to emphasize he jumps over and stops. Dramatic effect. You know, like a superhero lands coming from another galaxy and then points at the victim. What is that?
He's taunting. I mean, this is a pattern of behavior. This is what we see with people that demonstrate predatory behavior. This is part of, he's liking this. He's getting off on this. So he jumps over, he looks like a Marvel hero, he puts his hand back, and it's almost like, yeah, I'm here. And then he struts. If you look at the video, he continues to kind of have like a swagger or a strut. He knew exactly what he was doing, and it's part of the tactic. He's taunting, he's trying to instill fear, and he successfully does it, regardless as to whether or not he is somebody that's familiar to those women you can see that they are afraid because they're asking to call the cops. They're not opening up the window and saying, hey, Keon, get the hell out of here. They're afraid because they have probably experienced what's to come next, which is an escalation in behavior.
That from at S4LCC on TikTok. Joe Holden joining us, chief investigative reporter and anchor CBS News Philly, who has been looking for Kata from the very beginning. You know what's, I mean, some of that is laughable, jumping over the fence, like landing like a superhero. But nothing is stopping him, Joe. A fence, which was over 6 feet tall, locked doors, locked windows, hurt yelling, go away, screaming, call police, running through the house, through children who had to be afraid. And he looked like he was enjoying it. Dr. Jerry Lynn Utter was just saying that. The thrill.
This was the second time he was there that day.
Scaring someone.
The paper. Here's the document, right? You can't really see it, but he was there at 12:30 that morning, January 13th of this year. He makes a whole ruckus in that backyard. And then same day, 3:30 in the afternoon, climbs the same yard fence looking into windows. We see the video playing. But let me punctuate where I find even more chilling detail. The male is known to carry a black Glock handgun. He made several threats to kill the complainant and a witness present. He does not have an address and stays where is available. All of that detail follows the narrative that police lay out in this criminal complaint where he forces this victim into his car. He drives at a high rate of speed with his own two-year-old in that car. They're driving from this location in North Philadelphia down towards Center City, and he is choking and allegedly biting the woman in the face before he dumps her at the 700 block of Girard Avenue. So she gets away with her life, according to investigators.
At S4LCC TikTok.
We know her phone goes dead. It has not been on since. She is not seen after that. This sparkly, beautiful 23-year-old woman.
This girl has just turned 23. She's a little baby. Tonight, where is Kata? There is a $10,000 reward for information leading to her discovery. Her parents distraught, as you can imagine. This Penn State grad with fantastic grades, the world in front of her, goes missing from her workplace, a ritzy assisted living. Guys, not only have we fleshed out not one, but two, and we believe there are other similar transactions, past attacks, always on women, very often involving his vehicle, wrestling them into the car, strangling them. Did he allow Kata to live? I want to go to other evidence that happened overnight.
Hours after Philadelphia PD asked for help locating King's Toyota, a resident at Gypsy Lane Condos remembers a car matching that description parked in the lot almost a week. Officers descend on the community where King's family lives, cordoning off the parking lot to search it.
Received information that there might be some evidence at this school, which is not far from the arboretum that we were at this
Acting on a tip, officers search across the street at the now abandoned Ada Lewis Middle School. During a grid search outside the locked building, they recover some of Kata's belongings, her debit card and pink phone case.
Shortly after arriving at here, we were able to locate some physical evidence which ties Ms. Scott to this scene. Obviously, this is very substantial.
A lot of that from our friends at CBS Philadelphia and from CBS Philadelphia. Joining us right now, anchor and investigative reporter, chief investigative reporter, who is helping in the search for Kata, Joe Holden. That's a lot of information. I understand that an anonymous tip came in, not only about the vehicle, but about a place called Ada Lewis Middle School. What can you tell me, not only about that, how that fits in with the Arboretum, which is 56 acres of nothing but trees?
Correct. And you know what? We were at the Arboretum last Friday. And then this location of this Ada Lewis Middle School that's been shut down since 2008 felt like we were in the middle of a horror movie. Someone calls police and says an hour after they hold a news conference searching for that car and announcing the arrest of Keon King, police are told, you better go and check out the middle school. We know that police have recovered two pieces of critical personal evidence tying Kata Scott to the property of the middle school. Once again, the middle school sitting yards away from Albury Arboretum, where they searched a week ago. And then fast forward now, there's the middle school on your screen. And tell me you're not freaked out by those pictures. Police trying to devise a plan of how to go into a building that's been shut down for almost 20 years, an abandoned school building. I mean, it has all of the markers of what's next in this case.
Guys, this video from our friends at 6ABC Philadelphia, but I want to see if my control room could please send me back to the before shot of Ada Lewis Middle School. In its heyday, and we got this off their website, it was a beautiful school. But listen to this.
And the school itself, we were able to gain entry. It's three floors. It's a large school. And it's going to be a lot of area to cover. We're going to make sure we leave this there.
The abandoned middle school where Philadelphia police recovered physical evidence placing Kata Scott there has been closed since 2008. The school district still owns the graffiti-covered building, reportedly well secured, police having to request assistance to get inside.
That video from CBS Philadelphia, I want to go back to what Joe Holder was saying about it looks like a horror movie, a nightmare. It's now, it's defunct. It has been condemned. It's an abandoned building now. There it is. Keep watch. Okay, can you imagine our Kata Scott in that building? This is from our friends at 6ABC Philly. And there you saw the lead investigator in a suit walking in, followed by a lot of uniforms. And those uniforms are high level. You can tell by their hats, if they've got chevrons on their sleeves or leafs on their collar. Him. What of Kata Scott's belongings were found in there, Joe Holden?
So we know that they are very personal in nature. In fact, would not be parting with these things unless she was in some serious trouble. Police not specifying exactly what, but reading between the lines, perhaps something involving her cell phone, perhaps something involving a bank card or something connected to that. That is the level of detail.
I've got a question. Sydney Sumner, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Sydney, you and I were discussing, was it a cell phone case? Have we gotten that unofficially?
Yes. Sources are saying that it was her cell phone case and Kata's debit card, a pink cell phone case.
So, Joe Holden, that fits in with what you're hearing, a cell phone case and a debit card. And I want to go to Brian Fitzgibbons joining us. He is director of operations at USPA Nationwide Security. And what he does there as director is he leads a team of expert investigators to find missing people all around the world at USPASecurity.com. Brian, hell would freeze over before either one of my twins would part with their cell phone. Do you know how much time my daughter spends finding the right cell phone case? My son just gets a black or a navy one and it's over. No. Because have you seen, go with me on this for a moment, Fitzgibbons. Show Fitzgibbons, in case he hasn't seen it, Kata, like, getting all dressed up and doing her fashion videos, which, by the way, people are attacking her online for it. I don't get it. She was such a star in these videos. She loves getting dressed up, matching her necklace to her purse and her shoes. She's a glamour girl. You know, Brian Fitzgibbons, this is where I'm going, that she had a special phone case. Why is her phone case on the floor of the defunct, condemned Ada Lewis Middle School building?
I suspect, Nancy, that King ditched that cell phone case there and then went on to sell the phone. And I think that that will be something that comes out in this investigation, that he could have kept the phone to sell it and wanted to get rid of the case, which would have been easily identifiable. You know, I think you can actually see the case there with a lot of, you know, it's bedazzled on the outside. We don't know if that's the same case that she had at the time of her disappearance, but the case would be easily recognizable. So ditching that case would make sense for King to do.
Now, I'm understanding that, Sydney, some of the items were found outside that condemned building.
Right. So we don't believe, police are saying they don't believe that Scott or King made it inside the building. Police had to request access themselves to get in. So this building was likely well secured. So these items were found outside the building. That's what police are telling us.
You know, to Cheryl McCollum joining us, director and founder of the Cold Case Research Institute and star of Zone 7 hit podcast. Cheryl, the last time, I mean, you and I have covered, well, we didn't cover them. We investigated them. It's hard for me to think, I'm looking at Kata right now, Cheryl, I don't know if you can see your monitor. It's hard for me to imagine her at this condemned building. But Cheryl, you and I investigated a lot of cases. Whenever I hear abandoned building in connection to a case, Cheryl, it brings back some really bad memories of cases you and I investigated. Why is she in an abandoned building?
100%. So criminals know where there are no people and no cameras. So it's not a surprise to me, with his pattern background, that he knew about this abandoned school where he discarded her personal belongings. Her belongings that are at that abandoned school, does her bank card have his fingerprint? Is his DNA on the phone case? Anything that can tie him to those belongings is what law enforcement is looking for now.
Keon King. He is charged with Kata's kidnapping.
Put some heat on him to question him as to where Kata is. Find this girl.
Where was he? Where had he been? Is he keeping her alive somewhere? Where is Kata? Tip line 215-686-TIPS. Repeat, 215-686-8477. LE Law Enforcement. Insisting they believe she may still be alive. Where is she? Overnight, we learned that not one but two cases of assault on women that look similar to Kata Scott, that involve his vehicle and alleged strangulation, have occurred. That's two that we know of. Also, the car found, but where, why there, and what can we learn about the car? Straight back out to Chief Investigative Reporter and Anchor, CBS News Philadelphia, Joe Holden. Tell me about the car. And I'd like to see the video of that aerial video of the vehicle. Go ahead, Joe.
Let me give you the timeline. So police hold a press conference at 10:30, ask everyone to look for that car. And then by 12:30, they're back at that middle school that looks just plain scary. And then at 3:10 in the afternoon, so 4 hours after, four or five hours after their press conference, someone says, I saw that car parked on the 4,000 block of Gypsy Lane in a street that essentially dead ends at Lincoln Drive. If you're familiar, I know Nancy lived in Chestnut Hill for a time. Someone had to have their eyes open. They saw it. They call Philadelphia police. Philadelphia police leave Ada Lewis Middle School and rush over to the 4,000 block of Gypsy Lane where the car is parked. There is obviously, as you've said, a potential wealth of evidence in that car. My investigative sources say they are looking for DNA inside the car and inside the trunk.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, another thing that happened overnight, Joe Holden joining us from CBS Philly, prosecutors say that they made a, quote, mistake by not following through with the earlier charges. Well, that's a day late and a dollar short. They tried to blame it on the victim for an FTA, failure to appear. When a woman doesn't show up in a domestic, okay, this is what you do. Back me up on this. Dr. Geraldine Utter joining us. Dr. Utter, when a woman doesn't show up on an FTA in a domestic, you go find her. Because in my experience, by the time I got them, of course, they weren't just a slap or pushing somebody over. They were full-on felony, if not a murder. You go find them. And you prosecute that case. And you make it clear to the defendant, she wants to drop charges. Don't take it out on her. I'm prosecuting you, SOB. That's usually the way I would handle it. And it worked. But they didn't. So now they're kind of saying, like, she didn't come to court, so we dropped it? No. Go get her.
Yeah, I mean, go get her for sure, Nancy. But the other thing, too, I mean, this is obviously a victim of a serious crime. She was hurt by this man. She's afraid of this man. So it does make sense. I mean, victims, they become afraid.
Right. Afraid of retaliation. Cheryl McCollum, hold on. Let me pick up right there from what Dr. Utter just said. Cheryl McCollum, I want to get back to the car and off the victim shaming aspect. This car could be a treasure trove. We're also learning, in addition to her debit card and phone case, we've heard rumors that an iPad case and Kata's glasses were found at that abandoned school. Now, connection, it's near the Arboretum, but to the car, somebody let him into the parking lot. You have to be allowed in. This is near where his family lives. Go ahead. What can we learn from the car?
There's two categories I'm looking at, Nancy, in that vehicle. The first one, anything that I can tie the victim to. Can I put that victim in that vehicle? I'm looking for blood, hair, fingerprints, anything that belongs to the victim, clothing. If there was a struggle, did a shoe come off? Anything, an earring. The second category is going to be something that was used in the commission of that crime. Is there a weapon? Are there restraints, notes, drawings, a hotel room key, a receipt? Did he buy food for the two of them? Anything where I can say, hey, this is unusual. One of the best things we have right now is he has not reported that car stolen.
Oh, yes. Just like in the case of Celeste and D4VD, a.k.a. David Anthony Burke, who never reported his Tesla stolen or missing, and then Celeste's body was in the trunk. Yes, that raises a red flag. The car wasn't stolen. He didn't report it stolen. Cheryl McCollum, have you ever watched, if you don't do it yourself, have you ever watched somebody change your oil in your vehicle? Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay. They will take this car, this Toyota Camry, and they will put it up like they're changing the oil. And they're going to look under it for blood, just like in the case of Nikki Chen. They found the undercarriage of her truck saturated in blood. But you have to put it up and look. They're going to get soil off the tires. Will it help? Maybe not, because that car has been many miles since Kata went missing. They're going to go through it with a vac. That is relatively a new technique to pull up DNA invisible to the naked eye over the carpet, over the floor mats, over the seats. It can pull up DNA that you can't see, such as blood. You might see that. They're going to look for sweat. Let me remind you of the case of Teresa Hallback, the photographer who was last seen at the home of killer Stephen Avery. When they found her car hidden at the back of a salvage lot, it had his sweat DNA over the ignition where he was sweating, trying to crank her car up to go hide it. He's convicted. They're going to look for sweat, blood, hair, fibers. Then they're going to luminol the whole thing, looking for iron oxide that shows up under an ultraviolet luminol light. fingerprints, clothing, anything, a shoelace, a bracelet, a ring, a hair clip. That's what's happening in that car right now. Agree or disagree, Fitzgibbons?
Absolutely agree, Nancy. And, you know, you brought up Nikki Chang Saley McCain. Let's hope that this investigation is done meticulously, because as we know, and we hope and pray that Kata is found alive, but we want to make sure that if there needs to be a prosecution for a homicide, that this is done correctly right now.
Please don't put the cart before the horse. Let's try to find her alive. Imagine my shock late last night when I was reading comments online looking for any information about Kata. And I saw this. These young girls and women need to stop doing these things, exposing themselves to evil, modeling, pageants, cheerleading, any social media. Okay, so I guess that's what I was doing as a high school cheerleader when I didn't make the basketball team. Are they crazy? I read another one that says, I tried to watch Crime Stories, but I had to stop at 1337. I was tired of watching Kata Scott prancing around. I don't understand that. To special guest joining us, Joe Holden, chief investigative reporter and anchor CBS News Philly. The degree of victim blaming is intense. And you know what? It's just like this. I want to see Joe, but I want to see Kata prancing. She's gorgeous. She's 23. She's a baby girl playing in makeup. She just turned 23. All right.
What in the hate is happening, Joe?
How did she turn into the bad person?
She's not. And you know what? Let me give you some hope for at least the corner of our world here in Philadelphia. I have an entire city I'm aware of looking for any sign of this girl. So let the haters live online and in social media. But there is a 5,000, 6,000 member Philadelphia Police Department, a district attorney's office, and people like me and you looking out and trying to get to the bottom of this really nauseating mystery.
Derek Smith, veteran trial lawyer, won a lot of cases at dwsmithlegal.com. I don't want to hear it, but we have to hear it. If this case goes to trial, Derek, you know what you're going to do. What will the defense do? Because the state's got to be ready, not just with their case, but to destroy the defense case. So where would you go on this?
Well, I mean, on the defense side of things, if there's no physical evidence, if they don't find anything outside that school, if they don't find anything inside the car, how are they really going to connect the victim to the alleged perpetrator? I mean, they have that other video, and you said like transactions, similar alleged events that he's done with other similar victims, but again, never convicted of any of these things. It's just speculation at this point. So, I mean, they're going to really have to do, like one of our other panelists said, a very meticulous search of this vehicle, do anything they can to try to find evidence, whether it's, you know, like you said, the blood, the sweat, anything to connect the two of them in this gold Corolla being together. Because without any physical evidence, we're just looking at circumstantial evidence. And that's not going to be enough to convict, Nancy.
How can there be hatred for this girl who is missing? All things bright and beautiful. That is Kata Scott. God willing, Philly PD brings her home alive. Again, the tip line, 215-686-TIPS, 215-686-8477. Tonight, we remember American heroes, people that put their lives on the line to come forward. If prosecutors had gone and gotten the first two victims, and they had testified without fear, maybe Kata would be alive today, joining us tonight, detailing how she outsmarted her kidnapper. That did not happen. But tonight, I want to honor all the stalking, the battery, the beating, the rape victims that do come forward, even if they're afraid, win or lose. We saw what happened in the Sean Combs case. A win is not guaranteed, but they fight the good fight. tonight. They are our heroes. Please join us in prayer for the safe return of this girl, bright and beautiful, Kata Scott.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.